Mac?
Yes, Mr. President.
Are you over there in the salt mines today?
Oh, sure. I was just talking to Mendel Rivers. That's the deepest part of the salt mine. I'll
tell you this. I'm glad you've got a lot of patience. John McClark called and said he'd already talked to the heads of the companies.
I've already talked to some of them myself after he talked to them, and I think some progress is being made.
Now let's get it made before Ruther goes knock them in the head on this other.
What did Jack McCoy say about it?
He said that he thought might be able to work out something. He'd have to talk to them, and he couldn't tell. I told him you said you already had one design. What I think Ruther's going to do, I think he's going to demand the world with a fence around it in his wage negotiation.
No,
I think he's going to push him to the wall and going to be murder on us.
Yeah, I
think, though, that he's vain enough that if we could get some company to take this on and all of us give them plenty of encouragement and get the rest of them to stand out at it, I think that we could put this little car on the market, be real novel, be attractive, and make it Americana and have a Justice Department behave and let it be his idea. I think he'd be so damn.
Mr. President, not until after a company decides. Christ, they'd decide against it just because of
the decision. Of course, I understand that. But I think that if we could work it out and get it where we could put something on that would really compete with Volkswagen, I think that he would be vain enough. I'd say, now, damn you, we've already doing this to take care of you people. Now, please behave on us. I think I could say that.
Well, Mr. President, I have a list of subjects I was going to ask if I might come over to talk about
this week,
and this was one of them, and I was going to suggest this, that I think it's with what Jack's done, it's at the point now where a justice could profitably spend a little time thinking about what might be done here to grant some protection, possibly, to one or two companies if they were interested.
We just have to. We have to do that before we get them to do it, and we'll talk about it.
Would you like me to talk to Nick about it?
I'd like you to talk to Nick and Bobby both as soon as we get back here, and let's see how much influence you got with Bobby. I'll just test that right now, because I think it ought to be done, and if we don't have to repeal a statute, I would I'd stretch anything that we needed to do.
I talked to the president of Ford Motor Company about it as recently as 2 nights ago for about an hour on the telephone, I'm sure they could be moved to do this if they had some feeling that they could have protection, at least for a time. I said, Christ, you can't be protected for life on it. You might be protected for X years, 2 years or 3 years or four or something like that. And I suspect also that General Motors might be interested in doing it if they had protection. Now, if you had both of those companies interested, neither one of them might want to do it unless the other one agreed to stay out for a while. So there are a lot of problems ahead.
How many cars you buy a year?
Well, I don't buy any now.
Oh, the hell you don't. You buy Chevrolets and Fords and...
Yes, sir. I beg your pardon.
You're the biggest user.
Oh, sure, sure.
Why don't you give them a contract instead of running around these damn big old... boats you got to haul, why couldn't you buy 100,000 or 50,000?
We just couldn't buy this smaller car. I really believe it's not right for the military.
Well, I see these sergeants come down here every day from Andrews Base, and all these White House drivers and everything else, and they're running around in Mercury's. I don't know why you've got a sergeant that's delivering a message for the general down to the Chamber of Commerce why he's got to have a Mercury or a Chevrolet.
Actually, they buy they mostly buy what's known as the Fairlane size, which is below the Ford Galaxy level in price, and the companies sell it to the government at such a low price that actually the government would save damn little if they bought a Volkswagen, even if a Volkswagen size would be appropriate. But I'll look into this. Maybe we can do something.
You might buy a few. Well, don't you use some of them overseas? Korea.
Let me look into it and see.
I don't know why you couldn't buy a few of them to start them off.
Oh, and I think we can.
You could let that contract and get justice declared and give them enough to kind of tool up a little bit.
Really, the problem isn't assuring them some business. There's no question but what you're right in thinking they could get half the market in this country. The problem is having to share that half with two or three more companies. And this is the thing, of course, Ford pointed out immediately when I talked to him the other night about it. I really think they'd be willing to go in if they had the market to themselves.
How could you prohibit the other companies from going in?
Well, this is where justice has got to get in. I think you might work out an agreement that the other companies would agree voluntarily not to go in for, say, 2 years. But you, at the moment, you see, you can't even talk. Ford can't even talk to General Motors on this subject.
Right.
It's illegal to converse on it.
Aren't they even willing to consider legislation?
Well, I think we could probably get by without legislation.
Now, Jerry Wiesner's all upset about Vincent saying he's going to cut $400-500 million out of your. Have you been able to do any good with him on that research?
No, not yet, Mr. President. What I've tried to do is get agreement that if any cut is made, it'll be in total so we can spread it. And then after I get that, if I can, then I'm going to work on the amount of the cut. Vincent wants to cut $390 million, and he's told Price, who's the chairman of the subcommittee on this subject, that he doesn't give a damn what the merit of the project is to come up with a $390 million cut. So Price has no freedom, and I've got to go back to Vincent again. Now, Vincent has given me the impression that if we'll just stand still for the $390 million cut, he won't cut another dime out of defense. I can't quite believe that, because I think the pressures on him from the Republicans in his committee are going to be so great he's going to be forced to make other cuts. But anyhow, I'm going to talk to him Monday morning on this subject.
Let me know anything you want me to do. I'll head him down here and sit around with him some evening, and we'll do it.
And then I thought, after get whatever we can do on Vincent to hold the cuts down to the minimum, then we can go to work on the Senate. I think there's more possibility there. And by the way, Russell followed your suggestion to hold joint hearings between the Armed Services and the Appropriations Committee, which is going to be a big help, at least to me, and which will speed up our bill in the Senate. In the House, there, of course, will be separate. But
well, you give Russell credit and Vincent credit for every damn thing you can. I mean, and without being soapy or effusive, you be sure that you look for things that they suggest that you can go along with them with, because I'm trying to make both of them really go all out, and I think Russell has come a long ways in the last 60 days. If you'll notice his speech today, says
he... Well, I will surely do that. Yeah. I personally put a hospital in his...
Well,
on his air base, Moody Air Base, that he very much wanted, and I found a way to do it.
You just find a way, though, before the committee to say, well, your chairman brought this up to me, and it didn't appear to me that it would hold water when I saw it, but I studied it, and I found out it's a good merit.
Yeah.
Just bear in mind some of those things, particularly for Russell.
I will.
Now, I thought our meeting the other night was best and we helped.
Oh, it's excellent. And they were enthusiastic, wives as well, but particularly the senators, several of them.
Did you see Scott's statement on the hi-fi?
I did.
Scott said that we were working for the Republic and he hated to get messed up in it. He's been the one that's been messing it up and raising all the hell. Goldwater said that he got a miniature television, but his was miniature and mine was major.
But even Goldwater said he wouldn't... to say it was improper.
Oh, well, he's a son of a bitch.
Goodbye.
Right. Is that woman still living with you?
Yes, indeed.
Well, give her my love.
I shall. May I talk to Nick first and then...
Yeah, you talk to anybody you want to. You just get this show on the road, do we? We want results.
Right.
And I think it... and you better give me your thinking, too, on what we're going to do with these wage negotiations, how we ever going to keep Ruther before he gets wild, because he's talking about taking those money bags away from him.
I know it. Well, I called the president of Ford the other day and asked him to come down and stay with us next week, and I want to talk to him about both those matters, and I'll do so.
All right. I want to lean on you to kind of help me in that field. I don't want to get in a steel deal. On the other hand, why don't they cut their prices, some of the automakers, with their profits?
Well, there are two reasons. First, if they cut the price, the first problem is that the profit in the industry varies by firm very substantially. American Motors, for example, is in much worse shape than General Motors. If General Motors cuts their prices, everybody in the industry has to cut. It's so competitive, and that puts American Motors in a hell of a fix. Second place is that neither Ford nor Chrysler at the present time, in the view of their directors and their stockholders, is making enough money. If you look at Ford stock as an illustration, it's selling around 51 at the present time. In relation to General Motors, the Ford directors, and the same thing's true of Chrysler directors, and their stockholders feel their stock is underpriced in relation to what it should be in relation to the investment. So trying to get those companies to cut their price is just going through hell. General Motors could cut its price and still earn a fair profit. The reason is that General Motors is so much more efficient in terms of styling and popular appeal for their automobiles than is Ford and Chrysler. And trying to get a price decrease out of that industry this year is almost an impossible task. I don't think we ought to give up on it, but it's almost...
Well, now, if Reuther makes these unreasonable demands, they'll shut down, won't they?
Yes, that's true.
And that'll ruin our economy, won't it?
Well, it won't ruin the economy, but it'll ruin some of the political... September and October, that's when...
It'll ruin my budget, too, won't it?
No, well, not enough to worry about. I don't think the effect on the economy or the effect on the budget is as important as the effect on the psychology of the country in September and October. It'd just be hell.
Well, how are we going to get by then?
I don't know. That's what I...
Well, that's your problem.
I've been thinking about that.
Your problem. Go ahead. Goodbye. Say, listen, Bob.
Waiting.
I'll get him back right quick.
Secretary McNamara?
Yeah.